Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
What a joy to be with God's people. He said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst."
Right.
I think of what David said. I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go. Let us go to the house of the Lord." We come here to hear of Him. We come here to worship the true and living God. For God seeketh such to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I know there is no spiritual worship. There is no real worship apart from God's truth. Worshiping Him in truth. Now, I appreciate you'll having this conference and for fellowship and all that we've enjoyed. I thank God for the privilege of being here and for your pastor asking me to come. Now, turn again to that passage that we just read, that Brother Marvin just read for us, Matthew 22. Matthew chapter 22. And I want to ask you a question. I want to be real, real frank. And real honest, brutally honest. What think ye of Christ? What do you really think of the Lord Jesus Christ? Wasn't that the question of the day? Wasn't and isn't that the question of all questions when these religious, self-righteous God-haters peppered the Lord Jesus Christ with these many, many questions about the law, about the resurrection, about the tribute money. He put all of His critics to silence, shut the mouth of all those self-righteous Jews with this one question found here in our text, Matthew 22. I want you to get it and look at it now. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together. Now, their design was not to come together to learn anything. The Lord Jesus Christ had been teaching in the temple, and they came to entangle Him. They came to trap Him. They came there to do Him harm. They took counsel how they might destroy Him. They came there to embarrass Him publicly, and to put Him to shame. But, oh, didn't He turn the tables on them? It says here in our text, verse 46, Matthew 22, verse 46, "And no man was able to answer Him a word, neither did any man dare from that day forth ask Him any more questions." He shut their mouth. He silenced them, silenced all of His critics. I tell you this, I trust I've learned this, and I pray God will teach all of us this. Before God ever is pleased to teach us something, He's going to do this one thing. He's going to stop our mouth. He's going to shut our mouth and sit us down and make us to bow before His sovereign throne as a mercy beggar and cry out unto Him, "Lord, teach me. Teach me. Teach me." Oh, for a quiet spirit to sit quietly and to learn of Him. All those who have heard and have learned of the Father, you know what they do? That's right. I like those questions being answered. I just ask them, you answer them. They come to Christ. They come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, a thirsty man, he goes to when he's thirsty. Have you ever been really thirsty? I mean, just so thirsty that you would, I'm embarrassed to say this, but I've done this, drink dirty water, I mean muddy water. It's been so thirsty that you would just drink water regardless what's in it. Thirsty. Those who are thirsty and those who are in need of salvation, they come to the water of life, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is that drink of everlasting life. He is salvation. The Lord of glory has an all-important and vital heart-searching question for these self-righteous Jews. these who are going about to establish their own righteousness. Our Lord said of them, you are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. That which is highly esteemed among men, God says is abomination in my sight. He had a heart-searching question for them, and it stopped their mouths. What think ye of Christ? Now, this is a question for all of us to consider. I want all of you to personally, in your heart, to answer this question in your heart before God, honestly. What do you really think and believe about the Lord Jesus Christ? It's a most serious question. What do you really believe about His person? What is He to you? What do you think or who do you believe that He really is? What do you think that He accomplished in His death? Is He everything to you? Why are you here this morning? Did you come just to be seen of men? Did you come just because today's Sunday morning? I pray that we're all here because we have a desire to be here. We have an eagerness in our heart to be here. Oh, to hear a word from God, spoken through His servant, sent by God the Holy Spirit to feed our needy soul. Oh, for a word from God. Blessed with the power of God. Is He everything to you? It's sad but true. Many religious people entertain low thoughts, small thoughts, ungodly thoughts, false thoughts, incorrect thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ, about His person, who He is, about His work. What did He do? Why did He come? Did He come just to make an effort? Did He come just to make a down payment? Did He come just to put us in a savable state that we might do certain things and therefore accomplish salvation? Did He make just a down payment or a full payment? Many, many religious people entertain wrong thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ because by nature we don't know Him. We're born in sin, shapen in iniquity. To some, the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing at all. Oh, they might use His name as a curse word when they smashed their finger on the job. You've all heard that. To some, the Lord Jesus Christ is nothing at all. Many of these Jews in that day said vile, wretched things about Him. You remember they said, behold, a gluttonous man. He's a wine bibber. They said in mockery to Him, He's a friend of publicans and sinners. You know, that's good news. They thought they were mocking Him. Well, you know, we won't have anything to do with that sinful crowd. And the Lord Jesus Christ, they said of Him, He's the friend of sinners. Thank God. Thank God He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, they said mean, ugly things about the Lord Jesus Christ. Some even said of Him that He was an ally of the devil. Some said that He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils, He cast out devils only by the devil himself. Is He nothing to you, all ye that are passing by this morning? Is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, is He nothing to you? To many, that's the sum of what they think of Christ. He's nothing. He's nothing. He's just a historical The historical Jesus, the man from Nazareth, the poor, weak, superstar Jesus who doesn't know why He came, doesn't know why He's here. Is He the confused Christ? To many, He is absolutely nothing. To some, however, the Lord Jesus Christ is something. Perhaps a good man. Many say that He's a good man. Some say that He was a prophet and a teacher. Many say that He's something, but not everything. Not everything in salvation. You remember what Nicodemus said of Him? We know that Thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things that Thou doest, do these miracles, except God be with him. God be with him. Nicodemus recognized he was a teacher, but he didn't know that he is God the teacher, that he is God among his people. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Nicodemus recognized him to be something, but not everything. He recognized him as a teacher, come from God, but he didn't know and realize that he is God in the flesh, come to teach his people. It takes, my friend, as I said to someone earlier this morning, it takes God to reveal God. It takes God the Holy Spirit to quicken and call and to enlighten. But to every believer, born again by the Spirit of God, taught of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is not something, He's everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. He's our life. He is the very reason that we exist. He is our being. The Lord Jesus Christ to the believer is everything. He's all our salvation. He's my life, my light, my water. He's everything to the believer. In the book of Colossians, the apostle writes this, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory." Christ, our life. The Lord Jesus Christ is called in that same chapter, Colossians 3. Christ is all. Christ is all and He's in all. He's in all of our salvation. He's in on all of it. From the beginning of God's elective grace to that final, ultimate glory, salvation's all of Him. He's in on all of it. He purchased us with His own blood. Listen to some of these blessed testimonies recorded in the Word of God, believers in the past, and see if you can find agreement with them, harmony with them, and see if you can enter into what they're saying. See if you can identify with these believers of the past and be of the same mind as these who give testimony, true testimony, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Job said of Him, "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. I know He is my living Redeemer." Our Lord said in that revelation, "I'm He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive. I'm alive forevermore." He is life. He is the resurrection and the life. Abraham said of Him, to his son Isaac, "God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." And He did. And He is the lamb. Behold, the Lamb of God. God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering. David said of Him, "Although my house be not so with God, He hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and it's sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire." That's a good testimony. He's all my salvation. He's all my desire. Simeon of old said of Him, "Now, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, according to thy commandment, for my eyes have seen thy salvation." Thy salvation. Can you say that in your heart? By faith we see the Lord Jesus Christ through this written word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And saving faith has one object, and it's a person. Saving faith doesn't look in here. Saving faith looks out of self unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It says that in Hebrews 12 too. Looking unto Jesus, the Lord Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Mary said of Him, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." He is God my Savior. Peter said of Him, you remember, "Peter, whom do you say that I am?" I hear what these other fellows say. "Whom do you say that I am?" You remember his answer? "Thou art the Christ, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord said, you're a blessed man. You're a blessed. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father hath revealed that to you. One day a crowd of people who were following Him for the loaves and the bread and for the miracles, and when the Lord declared unto them that no man can truly come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and a multitude of that crowd turned and left Him. And the Lord turned to His 12 and said, will ye also go away? Remember the words of Peter, to whom shall we go? You're everything. To whom shall we go? We believe and we are sure that you are that Christ. That one, not another. That one. Not the counterfeit. Not this Christ who wants to and can't. You're the Christ, the one sent of God. I love this testimony of Thomas. I guess we call him Doubting Thomas, don't we? He said, I won't believe until I see those nail prints and I stick my finger in them scars. He had heard the Lord Jesus had come forth from the dead the third day, just as he said. He said, I won't believe until I take my hand and put it in his side where that spear caused that scar. And when the Lord came on the scene and appeared to them, and he said, peace be still. Thomas said, oh, you're my Lord and you're my God. The Lord said, behold my hand, behold my... I said, you're mine. You're my Lord. You're my God. He sees everything to Thomas, Mary, Simon, or Simeon, David, Abraham, Peter. John, the prophet of God, said, behold the Lamb of God. Behold that Lamb that was typified, that Lamb that was prophesied, all those lambs. Now, you think about John for a minute. John's father, his name was Zacharias. Is that right? His father was a priest, which makes me to believe, it's not recorded in Scripture that I can call to mind, but John had to grow up around the temple. He saw all those lambs, the morning offering, the evening offering. He saw all those lambs, lamb after lamb, on the Day of Atonement, that special offering that was given, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, all those different offerings. He knew all about the lamb. But when the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, He dismissed all those lambs and said, there He is. Behold the Lamb of God. And you know what's interesting about that? You read that sometimes from John chapter 1 down through verse 29. And you read on down to the end of the chapter. And it said that the next day, you know what? He preached the same message. He said, behold the Lamb of God. And some of those that were following Him became followers. Somebody actually listened. And God blessed that word and they followed the Lord Jesus Christ. So, behold the Lamb. Behold the Lamb of God. All the redeemed in glory sing unto Him this song. Don't they? You know, we've learned it here by His grace. Unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin in His own blood, to Him be all the honor, glory, blessing, and power, both now and forever. And the redeemed said, amen. Amen. Do you think, now here's a question for you. Do you think so highly of Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you tell others about Him? Do you think so highly of Him that you dare to tell others about Him? You remember the wild Gadarene? The Lord met him. No one could tame him except the Lord. When he met the Lord, the Lord conquered him, cast out the demon spirit, clothed him in that blessed righteousness of Christ. And of course, that wild demoniac wanted to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what saving faith does. It follows Christ. Remember what the Lord said to him? Go home to your family and tell how great things the Lord hath done for you. And you know what he did? He went home to his family in Decapolis, and he began to publish how great things God had done for him. Why did he do that? He loved the Lord. He was not ashamed to tell others about Him. Here's the thought. Do you so love the Lord Jesus Christ that you want everyone to hear about the Christ of God? I see you older folks. I can say this now. I see you older folks. You pull out your wallet, or you ladies, you take your purses and you pull out those pictures of your grandbaby, don't you? And you tell everybody about your grandbaby, don't you? I do. I've got one now. I'm a grandpa. You tell everybody about your grandchild, the advances he's making, how he's starting to crawl, and you know, he just giggles so cute, and why do you talk about him? You love him. You want everybody to know about your grandchildren because you love them. Isn't that the same way it is with the believer? He's so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's so endeared to the Lord Jesus Christ that he dares to tell others. He doesn't really care what they think. He's determined in his heart to tell out the glories of the one who saved him. Oh, may God give us that boldness. May God give us that love. I believe He put that love of God that shed abroad in our heart. When God puts that love in your heart, I don't think you're ashamed to declare the gospel and tell others, yea, even among your own family. Do you so love the Lord Jesus Christ that your service to Him is a great joy? I see you ladies working about the kitchen and serving the food, just smiling. Just happy to serve the Lord. It's a blessed, blessed thing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know how we do that? How do we do that as believers? We serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and believers do, with joy in their heart, by serving one another. You see, we are members of His body. That's how we serve Him. And the believer so loves the Lord Jesus Christ that service to Him is a great joy. You know, the early believers, the early church thought so. In Acts 5, when they were beaten, Peter and John and others, beaten for preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it said they departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. They were beaten and told and commanded not to mention this despised Nazarene again. And they took the beating, joyfully went out and declared they went to all the world declaring the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what we would do. Marvin, if they came today and got you and tied you outside and whipped you and told you never mention Jesus Christ again, what would we do? Would we hush? I tell you, this religious world would muzzle every God-sent, God-called preacher if they could. I tell you, by His grace, your dear wife would clean your back off, sew up the wounds, and you keep right on preaching Christ. You see, we're not sidetracked by different things. Our message and our whole life and the ministry that God gives unto His servants, we're determined to preach Christ and Him crucified. We preach not ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and ourselves His servant, your servant for His sake. Oh, I tell you, may we serve Him with that kind of joy. Joy in our heart. Are you so sold out and committed to the Lord Jesus Christ and His gospel? Are you so determined to continue in the faith and to remain steadfast, faithful unto the end? Are you sold out and committed, so sold out and committed that you're not ashamed to own Him? Can you say with the Apostle Paul, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ? For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Whereas Paul, when he writes to young Timothy and says, be not ashamed of me, nor the gospel, Timothy. It's God who saved us. God who has called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to God's own purpose and grace. And then down in that same chapter, he said this, I know whom I have believed. That's the reason I'm not ashamed. I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. You see, believers are so in love with him, they're not ashamed to tell others. The believers are so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that serving him is a joy. It's a joy to serve him. Believers are so in love with the Lord Jesus Christ that they're not ashamed to own him, to identify with his people in believers' baptism, to identify with him in believers' baptism, and identify with his people where the gospel is preached. Are you ashamed to come here? Are you ashamed to speak out when someone says, well, where do you go to church? You say, Katy Baptist Church. Or do you say, oh, I go where the gospel is preached. I go where God called his servant. I go out there to Katy where the gospel is preached. Is that your testimony? I trust that it is. Not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. To you who by faith look to the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, he's altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely. To you who trust him alone for all your salvation, he is precious. To you who believe, he's precious. We have been redeemed with his precious blood. We have obtained like precious faith. There's not many things in the Word of God that's called precious. He is precious to you who believe. He is precious. What do you think of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? To you who need forgiveness from all sin, the Lord Jesus Christ alone is all our cleansing. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. To you who need forgiveness from your sin, all your sin, the Lord alone is our cleansing. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sin. The man who doesn't have Christ doesn't have forgiveness of sin. To you who need to be justified, cleared from all guilt, made righteous before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, my friend, is all our righteousness. He's all our redemption. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's all our redemption. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. But of him, are you in Christ Jesus? I had a knock on my door one day at the study. A man actually came in the front door when my study was downstairs. And I heard the door slam. And he was knocking. Anybody home? And I went upstairs to see who it was there in the church building. And it was one of these, I call them Church of Crud. Water and Works preacher. He was a Church of Crud preacher. A Water and Works preacher. And he came and he invited himself to preach in my pulpit. He told me who he was. He said, I need to come over here and tell the people the truth. He said, you're lying on God. Well, you know about hit him in the nose. But one of the things I said to him, I said, have you ever read that scripture where it says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That, as according as it is written, he that with glory, let him glory in the Lord. He said, you know, I never thought about that. I said, what? You never thought about having a blessed righteousness in the Lord Jesus Christ? He doesn't know the Christ of God. He's trusting a counterfeit. He's trusting a wannabe Savior. He's not trusting the Christ of God, is he? Oh, I tell you, we trust the true and living Christ of God, not a counterfeit, not a wannabe. This is the Christ of God, the Christ sent of God. You can trust Him with all your salvation. To you who need to be raised from the grave of spiritual death and made new creatures in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is all in the new birth. He's all in redemption. He is all in the new birth. The new birth is by His will. By His will. It's not of Him that willeth, nor of Him that runneth, but it's God that shows mercy. You remember there in John chapter 1, where it says, He came into His own, and His own received Him not, but to as many as received Him, to them gave He right, the power, the privilege to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. But there's not a period there. Which were born, not of blood, not of bloods, not of the new birth doesn't run in bloodlines, fleshly heritage. My dad died a heretic. My dad died in his sin. God had mercy on me. It's not of bloods. It's not of your family inheritance, heritage, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but we're born of God. And the reason we receive Him, and the only reason we believe Him, is because we're born of God, begotten of God. You see, faith is not the cause of a new birth. The new birth is the cause of faith. We believe according to the working of His mighty power. What's that scripture over in 1 John 5:1? Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that man born of God. Born of God. To you who need to be raised from the grave of spiritual death, the Lord Jesus Christ is everything in salvation. It's by His will, it's by His grace, and it's by His power. By His power. To you who need an ever-present, ever-living mediator. There's just one. I need a mediator. One who represents me before God Almighty. And that one mediator, the one that's designated, sent, and appointed of God, the only one that has the ear of God, the one who speaks for His covenant people, as the high priest of God, that one sent of God, appointed of God, recognized of God, is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Is He your mediator? Just one. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is a God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as the high priest and mediator, as the intercessor, as the advocate before His throne, the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. Now look back to the text again. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ? His person. Is He God Almighty? Yes, He is. God manifested in the flesh. And His work? He did indeed save His covenant people from their sin. The Lord Jesus Christ made full atonement. He didn't make an attemptment. We don't say He made an attemptment. He made an atonement. He died for all of the sins of His covenant people. Definite atonement, particular redemption. That's the only redemption and atonement that this book knows anything about. He laid down His life for the sheep. Call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. And my friend, His person, He is God Almighty, manifest in the flesh. His work, sum it up this way. Can you sum it up in one word? I can think of a couple words. His work, perfect. His priestly work. Seeing we have such a great high priest, the priest of God who represents us unto God. His priestly work is perfect. His priestly work is finished. His priestly work is accepted. Preacher, how do you know it's accepted? He walked out of that grave the third day. He walked out of that. He was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down. He sat down. Down, He sat down. The work was done. But pay particular attention to where He sat down. At the right hand of the throne of God Almighty. What does that mean? It's a place of acceptance, a place of honor, a place of love, and we are accepted in the Beloved. My friend, what think you of Christ? That's the question. That's the issue. That's the issue. What do you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, His person and His work? And I pray God would bless our hearts to see Him as altogether lovely and to fall in love with Christ. As old Brother Montgomery used to say, I've heard you say this. I'm going to quote you. Hug up to Christ. Hug up to Him. All right, I'm done.